She believed him when he told her some shadows were good. Wasn't that a mistake? Coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen is here. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to be talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Carol Allwood, and her book, The Good Shadows. When I tell you this is a roller coaster ride, believe me when I say that it is. This book has so much going on with it through the eyes of our protagonist, Violet, and what she finds out when she discovers that all that glitters definitely isn't gold. I can't wait to tell you more about it in just a few moments. We definitely want to thank our corporate sponsors, Readio App and Christian Book Club, for their support. To find out about these two businesses, go to christianbookclub.net and readioapp.com. We want to thank our Patreon team for their support. We have been supporting and showcasing Christian authors worldwide for the past 8 years. If you want to be a part of that, simply go to patreon.com/writestuff and see how you can help us out. And as always, we covet your prayers. Thank you so much for your rather amazing response to my newest release, A Groom for Altar, which is book 7 of the Blizzard Bride series. I have a new release coming out this month. Can't wait to tell you all about it. I'm still writing it, though, so you'll find out when I find out when it's coming out. But I'm really excited about it, and I hope you enjoy it as well. As always, if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen, Parker J, is here on WPJC 104.5. I'm really excited about today's show because we're going to be showcasing The Good Shadows. This book is a young adult novel that really tackles the subject of Wicca, Wiccan, New Age philosophy, and more. But it does it in such a way that you don't realize that you're being educated, and you're also following the journey of our main protagonist. Her name is Violet, who comes from a Christian home. But many things interfere with her life that leads her down this path of going into Wicca and the Wiccan religion, witches, things of that nature. Lots of things are going on in this story, and I cannot wait to delve into it. Definitely want to thank my good friends Linda and Rich Nathan for connecting Carol and I together again, because Carol and I met at SoCal CWC a couple of years ago, and now we finally have a chance to have her on the show to talk about her book. So I'm really, really grateful for the connection and the reconnection, I should say. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Carol Allwood. Carol, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with me on this show. Really excited to have you. Looking forward to the conversation. As you know, I definitely enjoyed your book, because to our listeners out there, I was reading it last night and I was live reading it to her. So as I'm reading the book, I'm sharing my thoughts and impressions and comments and whatever. So I'm doing all this via Facebook Messenger. And so she didn't see it for maybe like an hour or so. And then when she came on, she probably was like, oh my God, 400 messages, you know, and she sees all these comments from me. And, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're reading the book. And I really enjoyed it. I really think it's a necessary topic for right now. And it's really important to tackle when it comes to these different ideologies that slams right dab in the face of what Christianity teaches about getting into dark, satanic things. And what's really interesting about The Good Shadows is the narrator, which is Violet Blackstone, we are so in tune to her point of view. And even as you're screaming at her to don't go down this route, everything that happens leads her down this path. And so there are so many important lessons that are imparted while you read the story, even as you are sitting on the edge of your seat, nails biting, eyes wide, glued to your screen or to your paperback. This book is really good. So The Good Shadows is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And book two, called The Dark Shadows, is also available. And then there's a novella called Ghost of a Girl that's also available as well. So lots of good stuff is going on with this particular series, and we're going to delve right into it. But before I do that, I want you to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, my name is Carol Allwood, and I'm a teacher. I've been a pastor's wife. My husband isn't currently pastoring a church right now, but once a pastor, always a pastor. And I'm also, I just love writing. I write fiction and I write nonfiction for writers as well.
I saw your book about going to focus backstory, and I wanted to talk about that really briefly, because it is apparent that you know how to use this thing called writing. Because as we're reading the story of Violet Blackstone, the first thing I thought as a writer, I said, I'm going to pick up her craft book, Focus Backstory. And I tell new writers who are entering the craft, you need to get craft books. Maybe you don't have the money to go get a creative writing course. And I wouldn't necessarily say you have to get a degree in creative writing, but you do have to be a reader. You do have to understand how story works. You do have to learn different techniques and different approaches to literature that I think is important. So tell us about Focus Backstory real quick.
Yeah, that book was my investigation of really what makes a novel tick. And I kept writing books and sort of setting them aside and getting feedback like, this needs to be deeper. And that's where Focus Backstory, The Key to Writing Deep Character Journeys, comes from. As I analyze stories within it and I analyze the type of backstory used, because a lot of times new writers will think that they have to tell what's happened before within the first pages, but a lot of times you lose your reader if you don't start in the middle of the action and you don't hook them with the deep, you know, with the characters who have secrets. So this book analyzes like five different types of backstory, and it's not formulaic, although you could read the book and absolutely use it as a formula if you wanted to, but it's more of an investigation of what are the elements of backstory that should be included.
What's interesting, too, is that this is apparent in The Good Shadows. So for authors who are listening to me, you can actually take The Good Shadows and see how Carol does this. And I recognized the technique as I was going because we didn't have all the information at the beginning. And each time something was revealed, you're like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that was going to happen. Or you're like, I thought so, but you're not quite sure. So she uses this technique in her own book. And I remember when I got to one particular scene in the book, I said, didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming at all, even though the narrator knew about it. And that was really clever of you just from a writer's standpoint, because sometimes the narrator hides things from the reader. And that's what young adults do anyway. And so you have this multi-layered approach to the craft where as a teenager who tends to hide things because of whatever's going on in their life, they're actually hiding it from the reader as well. And I thought, wow, that is fantastic. So I definitely want to encourage our new authors out there. If you're looking to improve your writing, pick up Carol's book, Focus Backstory. This is also available on Amazon.com. So I just had to make sure I mentioned that, Carol, because I recognized the technique as I was going along. And then I looked up your book after I finished reading. I said, okay, so this is a technique that she's using. And I think that's important because writing does evolve the more you write. You learn how to do. I know, if I can digress really quickly, there's a technique called active setting where you use the setting to propel the story. And I read the young lady's books, and then I used it in one of my books, and I got a lot of good feedback from it. I was like, oh, my gosh, it actually works. so I like the fact that we can get these craft books. So that one was called Active Study. I cannot remember the young lady's name, so I'm so sorry. No plug for her. I just can't remember her name. But I remember that was the name of the technique. So just had to say that right there. And I love how you said that, you know, even though your husband is not a pastor, once a pastor's wife, always a pastor's wife. And that ought to be very interesting because pastor's wives, from my experience, they do take a lot of brunt from the congregation. And sometimes they are forced to let their husbands have to be a shepherd when they need to be at home with the family. So it is a pull switch. So lots of good things when it comes to being a pastor's wife. And I know you're not going to tell us all about that, but just interesting too. And so tell us a little bit about your writing. When did that journey to writing, how did it unfold for you?
Well, I started writing when I ran out of Karen Kingsbury books to read. And I just kept seeing, I would go to the library every week when both my daughters were in diapers, and I was looking for the next Christian fiction to read, and all I found was books with bonnets on them, and I thought, why is everything historical? And because I really like contemporary Christian stories, and I think that's really what drew me to Karen Kingsbury. And I know she writes adult fiction, whereas I'm writing teen fiction, but I just loved the setting. So many of her stories just delve into such good relational issues. So I just sat down and I thought I need to start writing something. So the first book that I wrote, I never ever published, is like about a prodigal wife story. And, you know, it was kind of cathartic for me, I think, because I was like stuck at home, my children in diapers. And I was like, what would cause a woman to leave her family? And it's funny because, you know, obviously it's fiction. I would never leave my family. I love my family. But it's funny how writing can be that, can be so cathartic. And even though it's not published, since I've mentioned it to different people over the years, they're like, well, my friend left her family, or I had moments where I wanted to. So anyways, it's funny how you come up with the topics. But then throughout all the writing conferences I've done, I just really realized I just love teen fiction. And I actually read The Hunger Games when I had no idea it was teen fiction. And not that everyone maybe loves that book, but I just found it very interesting. So I realized I wanted to write teen fiction, and the topic of magic just really kind of came to me I started seeing it coming into the schools. I started seeing it in culture every time I turned around. And so desire to teach people about what real magic actually is, because I feel like it's fantasized so much in movies and books.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. What I was saying, I was saying was that it's really important that you talk about this, because so many people are used to the fantasizing about magic, but in your case, you are making sure that we're talking about demonic, satanic magic. And so when you start to read and see this entering into the schools, you obviously had a call to start wanting to reach the teens in this light. So tell us, what was the first idea that came to you?
The first idea that came to me was, I'm scared to research magic. I mean, I was afraid as I started Googling about it that something bad was going to happen. And yet it's funny that I would say that it sounds like very fear-based, but, you know, I'm used to avoiding that topic like many people are. In fact, one time I said, you know, I advertised about it, you know, that a pastor's daughter dabbles in magic. And my response I got from someone was, why would you write about that? And I understand it can be a scary topic, but, you know, isn't it more terrifying to ignore things that could cause problems? And now we're seeing magic taking off within the church itself.
And you make a good point there. It's the fact that we have such a knee-jerk reaction to the topic that we forget that these things are happening right this second. There are people doing it right now. And we have to be the ones to be the ambassadors and say, here is the dangers of you getting involved into that. I remember one time there was a friend of mine who was dabbling into something. And I looked at him. I said, do you ever think that the reason why God doesn't want us to involve and get ourselves involved in this is because he's trying to protect us? And he looked at me for like 5 minutes. You know, I said, what if he's just trying to protect us because these entities, these beings, do not have our best interest at heart? Let's just stop there, okay? They're not looking at us like, I want to help you and save you. They're not doing that. And so many times we get thrown away by the fantasy of magic because we see the cool pictures. We see Harry Potter and stuff like that. We see different things, and it's so cool. They're so powerful. But that's fake magic to me. That's not real. That's not the type of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about satanic, demonic things. And I want to make that distinction too, because sometimes Christians see the word magic and they're thinking, oh my gosh, satanic. And the Christian authors I talk to, they're not talking like that. They're not talking like satanic magic. And oftentimes they put a lot of restrictions on displaying magic in their book because it's not satanic. It has a fantastical element. It's not like one gentleman, he made sure that he had a magical system that was more so of a tool. It was not something that came from within. It was not I have to talk to this God. You know what I'm saying? He just did lots of things to pull it back from it being demonic. And I think that's an important topic. There may be some aspiring speculative fiction authors out there who's like, well, I don't want to depict magic like demonic. And you don't have to. That's definitely here. But in The Good Shadows, we're definitely talking about satanic magic, but it's being showed in that light as well. You're not making it like, oh, I can do this, all that kind of stuff too. So I just wanted to make that clarification for our listeners, Carol, to make sure they understand that. So we got that out the way. So what we're going to do is take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to start delving into The Good Shadows. You're welcome to join in the conversation by calling 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stop, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel
and will join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to this special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen is here. Dr. J, we are talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Carol Allwood. She is the author of the book, The Good Shadows, which explores Wicca, magic, and these satanic practices in the vehicle of fiction. But let me tell you, this is not Twilight. This is a story that is going to take you down the rabbit hole and just show you how dangerous these things are. If you want to get your copy of The Good Shadows, go online at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I thoroughly enjoyed reading this book. And Carol, once again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me so we can showcase it to our listeners. I wanted you to tell us a little
thank
bit
you,
more
Parker.
Background about The Good Shadows, because I want to know, how did this idea come to be? You mentioned how at first you were very reticent to go into magic, things of that nature, but what kept prodding you down this path?
Yeah, like I said, I had seen it starting to come into the schools, and I had seen someone teaching my Christian friend's daughter something about magic, and I kept asking God, like, is this something you really do want me to pursue? And it was like, you know, when your eyes are open to something and you can't stop seeing it, it was like that. And I went to the Orange County Christian Writing Conference, and I was in a room talking about appealing to the teen mind, and there was probably only six of us in there. And I brought up the idea of magic, and someone turned around in front of me and said, we need to talk. And it turned out it was like God connected me with an ex-Wiccan who had become a Christian. And she read over my manuscript and really tried to help me understand how, you know, it gave more of an authenticity to it. Because I myself did not ever practice magic or witchcraft. And her heart was in helping Christians just understand it. And my heart was there too. And it was just neat to be on that path with her. And what she taught me really helped. So
that's important, because sometimes there are listeners out there whom God is prodding to write about a particular product, topic rather than product, or you could be writing about product too, but he's prodding you to do it, and you may feel as if, well, is that really what I want to do? And particularly when it comes to this topic, Christians just have a knee-jerk reaction and just avoid it. But I like what your contact who helped you authenticate this book, because your writing skills are great. Maybe she could not have written this as well as you did, but she gave you what you needed to make sure that you accurately depict it from someone who knows what they're talking about. That's why I always say, people say, only write what you know, stay in your lane. No, I highly encourage you to write what you don't know, because you may learn something. You may learn something interesting. And God may be calling you with the message because you have the skill set to get that message across. So we don't want to forget that as well. And so in The Good Shadows, we're following this Christian girl. Her name is Violet Blackstone. And already when the book begins, she's got problems. And I have to be honest with you, one of the reasons why young adult is not my first go-to genre is that I get so irritated with these kids, right? I'm like, oh, my gosh, they just irritate me. And then the Lord reminds me, you know, this was you, right? You know, I'm like, yeah, but that was a really long time ago. And so you sit there like, they just irritate me. And she is the type of character. I was screaming at her in this book, like, why are you making stupid decisions? Why are you doing that? But then her stupid decisions were prodded by her parents, who were also making stupid decisions. And then it was prodded by the church, who was not quite as merciful and gracious as it could be. So when all these things happen and she meets the guy who is just rocking her world, no wonder she's a lord to him. So it's just lots of good things happening. It's not straightforward. I want to definitely let you guys know this is not a straightforward book, because when we go down the rabbit hole, it's not a straight fall. It's often twists, turns, and coils that happen as well. So let's talk about Good Shadows. Let's talk about what's going on with Violet Blackstone. You don't have to give away all the spoilers, but peel back the veil of what's going on in her life right now.
Yeah, in the story, she and her parents aren't getting along, and there's a darkness in their own household, and she's reacting from it, you know, kind of really reaching out, trying to connect. But when that doesn't happen, and she has a best friend named Naomi, and Naomi takes her to a party, and she's just really is lured into this different world when she meets a mysterious guy. And the one thing I would say when we discuss Wicca and witchcraft is part of the reason the title of the book is The Good Shadows is because oftentimes these things really do look very good upon first sight. And Ken Lewerson, I mean, if you look at witchcraft and Wicca in today's world, and it's all about healing the world, having your best intentions, and doing what's right. And how confusing is that for us as Christians? And so when she's lured into this not only social world, she's also lured into wanting to use her own intention and will to make things right and to have things go right for once.
I'm glad that you mentioned about how good this religion looks like. And a lot of things look great on the inside. One thing about Wiccan is that they're very pro animals. They don't want to hurt animals. Mm-hmm. They don't really like a lot of violence. And I like how you depict that in the story. There's a scene where Violet gets violent, and the Wiccan priestess, she's like, we don't play that here. And they don't like
it.
And who can't applaud that sort of thing? And so it has this really good lore, and they say, oh, I'm a good witch. Oh, they're good shadows. Oh, I don't do black magic. I do white magic. Oh, I don't try to hurt people. Oh, I try to bring people together. So these are very titillating words that attract people who are seeking, because sometimes you look at our own faith, Christianity, let's say, and let's be honest, we haven't always been very good representing the Lord. And they say, well, they're judgmental, they're mean, they make you do all this, it's a bunch of rules. Whereas Wicca says, you know what? What's your path? Whatever your path is, just come on board. You know, and who doesn't want to just be accepted, not realizing that Christ will take you where you are and he's going to change you? You know, that's the part they don't get. God looks, he's going to change us into a new creature. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I think I messed up the verse just then, but basically that's what he said. And so that's what's happening here. And so Wicca says, no, come as you are. You don't have to change anything. You just have to bring in the light, positive energy, good vibes. Who doesn't like to hear that? So that's why I'm glad you mentioned it by being the good shadows. Me personally, coming from a place where I have been extremely blessed with authors like yourself, Linda Rich, Marsha Montenegro, who have all been into, well, not you, but they've all been in the occult and New Age. So I've been blessed that I don't have to know. I don't have to have the story. I don't want the testimony. You know, I feel like your stories are hair-raising enough to where I don't want to be bothered with it, you know. So I'm glad that I've had that opportunity, that I've had people in my life who said, don't go there, Parker, don't do it, you know. And there's a scene in here where Violet, she's so upset with her parents. And I actually highlighted it here. They're in the basement, And she's all this stuff here. They're like they're hoarders almost. And there's so much stuff here. And she says, yeah. I pull off the lid off another box, dishes. And she thinks, really, Mom and Dad, you're saving everything but your marriage? And I thought that was just a very profound thought that she had. And it brings to my next point about young adults. They are extremely intelligent and active in their world. They are thinking about things all the time. And they ask questions. Why was that such an important part of this story with Violet asking questions, Dakota, which is the other guy, the other character, asking questions? Why is that involved in the story?
It's a huge motivator for why she would delve into a different world outside of her own world. And I just think that if teens aren't getting what they need from their family life, that they are going to turn elsewhere. And it was interesting because there's one thing about this story is that Violet really doesn't understand her Christian faith because it's never been communicated to her authentically, or either that, or she never just connected with the love of Jesus yet to really understand his grace and mercy. And there was a mom who read the book and said, I asked my daughter, you know, you've grown up in the church. Do you, you know, like it prompted her to really want to ask her daughter questions. And that made me so happy because, you know, when you write, you think, I don't know how many people are going to read this book, but I just want to have some kind of positive impact. And it can be a scary story that's being told, but what's funny is, you know, the light shines so much brighter if there's any darkness in it. And I hope that parents, you know, if parents read it or pre-read it for their teen, I hope that they'll see the purpose behind that, that it's not just some rebellious teen who could care less. She really does care, but she turns elsewhere to get what she needs.
And one thing, too, is that she asks questions of God. Because she's been told you can always talk to God. And she said, God's not talking. And her drive for answers was extremely important to me in this story. Like, she is asking for answers. And I got to thinking about my nephew. Yeah. I got to think about my godsons. And I always let them know, hey, you need to ask me anything. You can ask me anything. And unless it's really crazy, you know, I'm not going to judge you or anything like that. But ask me anything. But a lot of times, parents don't. I shouldn't say a lot of times because I'm not a parent. So I shouldn't say that. But some parents do avoid asking questions because they don't want to put that thought in their head. But I would contend the thought's already in your head, but you won't know because you're not asking questions. What do you think about that, Carol?
Oh, I'm so glad you point that out because I'm convinced that as parents, we are terrified of what our children are going to tell us, you know? And I mean, I think we need to stop being afraid because there are these things in the world, and I'd like to bring up the tarot cards, which is what starts out, Violet goes to a party and there's tarot cards there. And honestly, I've been seeing them so many places and they're packaged as games. I even remember when I was in high school, a friend of mine who, she was Catholic, and I was a Christian, you know, since that age, but I remember her showing me tarot cards, and it looks like a fun game. So anyways, that connected to parents being afraid to ask, you know, what are kids bringing to school these days? You know, what are kids talking about? You know, what are you looking up on your phone or on the internet, on Etsy? You know, kids can hide so much. But honestly, I think they want to be known by us. I think they want to have a good relationship. And if we're not afraid to ask the questions, you know, maybe they'll open up and maybe we can explore God's answers related to some of these hard and scary things out in the world.
Exactly. I like the fact that you said that a parent can be afraid of what their children are going to tell you. Like, I don't want to know if you're going to tell me something insane. I don't want to know that you're thinking this way. And I get it.
Yeah.
I truly do. You kind of like, I don't want to deal with it. But would you rather deal with it while it's still a question or do you want to deal with it after the fact when your child makes a decision? And that's something our parents in this story, The Good Shadow, find out much later to their detriment. And let's talk about the parents here. And the parents, I really like the fact that you show these flawed parents because I believe you almost used it in a parable sense because the parents are having so much trouble between in their marriage, they neglected their daughter and they were so consumed with their issues they neglected her. And she's in the middle, like, I want my family. Where's my family? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And they refused to answer her questions. And at one point, when I was live reading this to you, I was like, these are some words she needs to know. And you were like, well, they're just really heavy. I said, but it's good because, again, these type of stories, you can tell a parable in fiction better probably than you could with a nonfiction book. Someone's going to get it much better when you do it this way. So tell us about her parents, and, you know, they're having some problems too. Don't give away too many spoilers, of course.
Right. Yeah, because speaking of backstory, which we talked about earlier about focus backstory, the backstory I used for this truly revolves around her parents, actually. And so they're just suffering from years of bad choices and they also are not fully understanding God's grace and mercy, even though her dad's a pastor. And just so much has gone on that they're fighting. And Violet's mom especially is just not there for her, and her dad is kind of lying to her or not answering questions. So, and honestly, the reason for that was, like, I don't know, if you have a loving family, you may not want to turn outside of what you've been brought up in so much. So it really is a driving force for Violet to go outside of her Christian world and kind of looking for something more.
Dakota is the guy, okay? And in a lot of young adult, there's the guy, or there's a love triangle, the guys, okay? So happen, he's the guy. But I was really blown away by your depiction of him, because instead of him trying to lure her to him, he's initially like, no, don't come here. Don't do it. I'm like, wow, Dakota,
yeah.
You know, I was really a shock, because I was like, she's like, oh, I like you. And she's made it obvious. And he's like, no, stay away, blah, blah. So let's talk about Dakota, because his backstory is also involved with his parent, which is his mom, Rain. So tell us about him and what our listeners need to know about Dakota's story.
Yeah, well, both Violet and Dakota are artists, and they have that in common. And they're in the same art class. But he really was raised in a Wiccan household, and as a result, I didn't want him to be too soft or feminine. However, I felt that he embodied a lot of those positive Wiccan traits, where you're pro-woman and you're loving and kind and gentle. But the reason I wanted him to fear for Violet getting involved with this does kind of relate to his backstory. But he just doesn't want, the way he sees Violet is she's a light to him, and he has sent some darkness in his own world.
And when she starts to encounter parts of his world, the interesting thing is that he's trying to protect her initially. And
yeah.
I like that about him. At first, I wasn't sure how I felt about him, because I was rooting for the other guy,
yeah.
how I felt about him. But again, he's, like you said, he's pro-woman, so he has these very positive things. And that's the thing about Wicca, is there are positives in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can find positives probably in a lot of
yeah.
things, you know, but it doesn't mean that it's right, you know. So that was
right.
important
yeah.
for us to bring out, was that stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Wicca faith here as you depict it in the story, and talk about some of these dark things. So we want to let our listeners know, particularly if you have young adults, you know, what is my young adult going to get when they read this book? And you're going to get an education about Wicca. And so if you want to weigh in, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen, Parker J, is here. I'm talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Carol Allwood, and her book, The Good Shadow, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's a young adult novel that really explores the danger of Wicca, being a witch, Wiccan religion, things of that nature. Because it sounds so nice and sweet and positive, we forget that there are dark forces involved. And one thing that she got her information from with this book was she did talk to a former Wiccan who became a Christian who helped her to give her that authenticity of what's going on in The Good Shadows. I think this is a very good book for parents who want to talk to their children about different ideologies, different faiths and religions, and have it come from a biblical and Christian perspective. So I think this is a book you definitely should put on your TBR or let your preteen read it. Your preteen can read it. I thought it was fine. And it's going to have some exciting moments, some emotional ups and downs, some roller coaster rides, some aha and shut the front door moments. That's all in this book. But it really does show Christ's light through the darkness of The Good Shadows. And Carol, once again, thanks for being with me as we continue to peel back the veil of The Good Shadows. And I want to talk about the Wiccan religion here, because I can just imagine some Wiccan person may come across our show one day and said they don't know what they're talking about. They're just making stuff up and things of that nature.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what Violet through Wicca experiences when she begins to, and again, I'm going to say it, dabble, just a little bit. And it started with the tarot cards. And
right.
Tarot cards, I've seen those before. I've never actually held them, but I've seen them. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
They actually do catch your eye. They're quite vibrant. And it started with just a pack of tarot cards. And, of course, I thought about the verse that says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole bread. You know what I mean? And that kind of happens here with the tarot cards. So tell us how she begins to dabble and what happens in that downward spiral.
Well, at the party, if I'm remembering the scene I landed on, because you know how you rewrite scenes again and again. But basically, Dakota does a reading for her and flips two of her cards. And she's so curious about her future card, she kind of, it gets in her head and she wants to know. And, you know, you think about it in this day and age with all the crazy stuff going on, I think about people who don't have a faith in God and want to know what's going to happen. I can see why you might turn to a medium or a psychic or tarot cards to tell you your future or to see you. And the thing is what this book shows is that the tarot cards see her almost more than her parents see her. And again, as we talk about Wicca, and I have done everything within my power to be respectful to people who are Wiccan, because I believe our enemy is not other people. Our enemy is the dark shadows that are after us. Now, I don't call them demons in my story, and I made a conscious choice of that. I didn't do that because people who practice Wicca do not believe in Satan. So as a result, they do not believe in demons. Now, again, in Wicca, there are many different forms Wicca can take or witchcraft can take. So one practitioner might believe one way, another might believe another. And there is a trend for Christians to be combining Christianity and magic. So if you're speaking about a witch or witchcraft or Wicca, you cannot generalize. But from my research, I learned that most Wiccans do not believe in Satan. And However, they do talk about shadows and energies, that there might be a presence. For example, if you cast a circle in Wicca, you call upon the four corners to seal your circle, to protect you from anything negative. But my friend who was a former Wiccan, and on some videos I watched of Wiccans, they do sometimes see energies. Some people might call them shadows. So, but in the Christian world, from my perspective, be a demonic presence. And that's something I wouldn't want to invite into my circle or within, you know, my prayer. I wouldn't want to invite that because, you know, I have my own faith of what I think that is. So, but Wicca is a very earth-based religion. Mm-hmm. When they call upon the four corners to protect their circle, they're calling on earth, wind, fire, spirit. And actually, what's the movie that that's Frozen? What's the most recent Frozen movie? Do you remember? Did you ever see that one? Frozen 2?
I really hated it. So I never watched the second one. never watched the second one.
Well, honestly, I could not stop seeing the parallel between Wicca and Frozen 2 because it's all about the four elements. And then at the end of Frozen 2, they take down the dam. And the dam was built by the grandpa who wanted to repress them. And I truly feel that people who are seeking after Wicca and witch concepts want to be freed. They want the past repression to be gone. And at the end of Frozen 2, you know, Elsa embodies what the element of spirit. The fifth element is spirit, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And so in my story, the shadows echo the elements. So
one thing you mentioned, too, is that Marsha Montenegro, who is I've had on the show many times, Frozen 2, and she said this is a dark movie, and she said this is so overtly New Age and occultic, she can't believe how people can't see it. But I just hated Frozen. I just really hated Frozen. I did not get the hype of Frozen. Okay. So I'm watching it in my house
And I loved first one, and I love Olaf, but it was tough for me to watch Frozen 2.
Yeah, because it took a different direction. And they were trying to go something different. And when you mentioned these, and I say this because we're not trying to stub people's entertainment. I watch stuff that people do not agree with me with.
Right.
And you've probably seen some of my posts.
Right.
You know, I love my monster movies. People, you shouldn't watch monster movies. Okay, whatever. Go on. Okay. But I'm like, okay. But I get it. So I'm not trying to stop anyone's entertainment. We're just trying to make you aware of what's going on. Because she's using young adult fiction to show you what your kids may be exposed to. And you need to be aware of that. And I really appreciated you going into what some of these ceremonies are. I also appreciate what you just said now about how some Wiccans don't believe in Satan because it's all about positive and negative energy. It's all about balance. It's all about this. And I'm like, if it was really that, I would probably fall for it, but it's just not that simple. And you could put all the positive energy, and this is, I'm being honest to goodness, you could put all the positive energy into something and still get hit by a car. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you really can't control the world around. Not that I want anyone to get hit by a car, but you really can't control what you think you can. And it has a lot of foundation in the New Age and in occultic practices, because they say, oh, just call on the positive energies to protect you from the negative energies. And then what you start to realize is that it's a battle of strength, and it depends on who's stronger. And then that gets to be very interesting. And you start to go, wait a minute, so this isn't really equal as much as who's stronger now. It's all about who has more power. So it gets really intricate. I don't want to get too deep into that because I can't, but I don't want to get too deep into it. Let's go into Nika Shiles again. Let's go back to her friends here, because Violet is surrounded by a very eclectic group of friends. She has her best friend ever, Owen, who I was rooting for. I was rooting for Owen. I'm going to spoil this one part. Owen breaks his leg, I think, his fibula, okay? And he breaks his fibula. And she takes him to the hospital. He's in a lot of pain. And then he does something really special for her. And she's like, oh, that's sweet. And I just wanted to strangle her. I just have never wanted to strangle her. I'm like, this is the guy you keep. You have no idea this is the guy you keep. Forget Dakota. He's a witch, for goodness sake. You know, forget him. Okay. But, and I was so angry. And so she has some other friends there. She has this one friend who I was like, you know, if she got hit by a car, I would not miss her presence. I just wouldn't miss her presence. And that was Hattie. And then Naomi was the sweetie pie. I felt like she was just the sweetie pie. She was like, no judgment, Violet, no judgment. And I love Naomi. Sometimes you meet people like that. No judgment. Okay. Just someone who lets you be crazy. And then she had her mom and her dad. And I liked, too, the vagueness of what was going on with the mom and the dad, because it was exploding for Violet. It exploded. Like, she's like, what is going on? Why won't you tell me? And she basically asked them directly, what is wrong? And the parents were just so caught up in their own mess, they refused to answer her. And then they're looking at her like, look how you've changed. I'm like, some of this is on you guys. You know what I mean? Like, some of this is on you. So her eclectic group of friends, they're each very distinct, very vivid characters. A lot of the side characters are vivid. That's why I say this book is extremely multi-layered. And like I told you in my live reading, from a technical standpoint as a writer, we're so tight into her POV that we experience everything through her eyes, to where when she gets things happening to her, you're like, my parents are so weird. You know what I mean? Like, you're with her. Like, yeah, your parents are like crazy. So, but what are some other thoughts as you, you know, as you review the story, go over the young love aspect of Dakota and Violet, that young love aspect? I think I wanted you to talk about the middle names, but I think that's too much of a spoiler. That's too much of a spoiler. So let's talk about the love aspect with Dakota and Violet.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a lot of teenage girls out there who are just like, I just want to fall in love. You know, when I was young, I would always, we'd pass under tunnels. You know how you make a wish when you pass under a tunnel when you're a kid?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I would always wish for a boy. Yeah, I would always wish for a boyfriend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think she's just kind of obsessed, but I just think she connects with him in a way that is different than anyone else she's ever connected with. And he's such a good artist. I mean, he carved the wood. And speaking of that, it's partly to do with the setting. She almost falls in love with the setting as much as she falls in love with him. And Chuckanut House is a fictional house that I made up because I grew up in Bellingham, and we would always drive along Chuckanut Drive, and you see the water and the forest. It really is a beautiful, beautiful place. And so I created this house that's very artistic as well. And Dakota's mom gives him a lot of responsibility, and he's very much more of an adult than many teens are somehow. You know, he's really kind of taken on the role of the male of the house. And so I think she really falls in love with him through his art and through, you know, just one, she can't, you know, gets lost in his dreamy emerald eyes, of course. And
yes,
he smells like the forest. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
She just really is drawn in by him. And,
And he's not effeminate in any way, even though he's Wiccan, he's not effeminate. And that's one thing I liked and appreciated about his character. And it kind of lets you know, he's very masculine. He just has a different part of his masculinity. He's very creative. And she looked at him.
Yeah.
He's like, he created this garland made out of branches. And then he uses a glass blower to create this really unique effect in one of the rooms here. And then when he's working with his mom, who he calls Rain, his mom's name is Rain, which I wish I could call my mother by her first name. I wouldn't live to see the next day if I called her by her first name. So, it would not happen. It would not happen, girl. So they just have
funny.
This really open relationship. I couldn't imagine calling mom by her first name. I made the mistake one time of saying what, and then I didn't see till the next day. You know what I'm saying? What? And, you know,
right.
But it's a different time. You know, I don't know if I can I probably wouldn't let my kid do that either, but, you know, respect and all that. But I like the dynamic of the good shadows. And then when she first encounters a good shadow, it, for me, was terrifying for me. And I kept wanting to tell her, you're not supposed to see things like that. That's what I wanted to tell her. Like,
yeah,
if you see someone that's not human in the corner, you really should run from the corner. Like, just get out of there. She's like, oh, wow, what's that? I'm like, stop being curious. Stop it. You know. But again, young adults are curious. They're growing into who they are as people. They're going to be beset by wonders and by thoughts and new ideas and ideologies. They're going to be curious. And it's a very vulnerable, I think, vulnerable part of our development. What are your thoughts about that, Carol?
Yeah, absolutely. And on that seeing things topic, I mean, I think different people have discernment. I personally don't see shadows. I don't see ghosts. I haven't. But I've talked to enough people who say they have, and I believe in the Bible, you know, Jesus, he called out the demons, so I believe they exist. So, I mean, it's fictionalized. And honestly, I mean, I'm sure much, much more clear description than any shadow of someone actually would probably see. But that's fiction for you, right? You know, you have to be able to get to have a little bit of fun with it.
Of course. Of course.
And now I'm forgetting your original question. I forgot
question. I forgot it too. So you're totally fine. You're totally fine because I'm really just enjoying our conversation as we talk about your book. And I'm really surprised because we are at the top of the hour. And so we have we got to wrap up our interview here. But I want people to have an opportunity to get in contact with you. So where can they find you online?
Twitter, on Facebook. I have an author's page and a regular page. Also Instagram. And it's all either at Alwood Carol or at Carol Alwood or author Carol Alwood. And I do have a website, www.carolalwood.com. And I did create a coupon if anyone's listening and would like 25% off paperbacks. Just use the coupon code RADIOFUN and you'll get 25% off, and which is pretty much we'll bring it down to my cost for the paperbacks. I would love to have you read it. So if you're interested, feel free to use that.
What's the promo code again?
Radio Fun.
FUN. Radio Fun.
FUN.
At your website, right?
This was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I know, right?
And I'll make sure that it's available there.
And so I just want to make sure that you can get 25% off the paperback copy of The Good Shadows. Use promo code Radio Fun at Carol's website, carolallwood.com, correct?
Yeah. Yep, okay. And then one more thing about the Dark Shadows, kind of investigate Dory a bit more. So if you're intrigued by his character in book one, you might enjoy book two.
Now, what are some of your other projects you have coming up?
Well, I am going to finish, my goal for the year is to finish this series, which means there's a third book. I'm toying with the idea of calling it The Last Shadow, and then there's two other novelettes that investigate the story that's in Ghost of a Girl, which has an additional character outside of the series. So I want to finish this series, and then I'm toying with the idea of writing inspirational fiction for possibly more of a general market. So anyways, I've got a lot of more teen fiction ideas. I can't seem to get away from it, and I love it. Love the romance thread, and I love the contemporary stories. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I'm just so excited, Carol, that you took time to be with me on the show. And one thing we do at Bright Stuff, we always want to encourage our aspiring authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so. So go ahead and encourage our authors out there today.
Oh, yes. It doesn't matter where you start, because if it's in your heart that you have a story to tell and you want to write it, just get started and know that it might be many drafts before you are to the place where you want to publish it and put it out there. But that's okay. It's all part of the process. And along the way, you'll meet incredible people. I met Parker at a writing conference, and just you'll make friends and you'll learn something about yourself. And God will be glorified through your efforts.
I like the last part you said, God will be glorified through your efforts. And I think that's worth repeating, because I think we think that writing is just all about us, about writing the book, but we never know who we are going to touch with our writing. Like for this book, I mean, honest with you, I was up, you know, I live read the whole thing with you, but it really intrigued me, and it made me glad that I talk about this stuff on my show, that I give people the opportunity to know the truth behind the shadows, and that truth is something worth sharing with people. And what I like about your book too is that they're going to learn about it without even knowing that they're learning about it, because they're so involved and immersed in the story of The Good Shadows. And then the second book was just The Dark Shadows, and then a novelette, Ghost of a Girl. And now you heard she has 2-3 more projects in this series. So that's going to be lots of fun. So very excited to see where this is going, Carol. I want to thank you so much for being with me on the show today. Can't wait to have you back, and have you back much sooner than before. So I can't wait to have you back.
I'd love that. Thank you, Parker. You're amazing. And I'm very grateful that you're willing to talk about it, because it's a tough topic, but I think it's really important. And we can't ignore it. So thank you, Parker.
We were talking today to Carol Allwood. She is the author of the book, The Good Shadows. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I highly recommend this book if you are an adult with a preteen and you want to be able to ask questions about things like Wicca, Wiccan, religion, witches, things of that nature. You want to have that conversation. I think this is a good book to have with your preteen or teenager, or just for yourself. You may not know what it's all about, because you're like, you were like Carol, you just stayed away from it. You don't even want to go down that road. If you see the street, you turn the other way. I understand that. But being forewarned is forearmed, as they say. Having your weapons close to you also help you fight the enemy as well. I really appreciated Carol's book. Like I said, I was up not all night, but most of the night reading it. Definitely enjoyed the book. I know you're going to enjoy it too. So make sure you pick up The Good Shadows. And then if you are an author and you want to really hone your craft, pick up her craft book, Focused Backstory. And if you get this book and you get Focused Backstory, you'll see how she utilizes that technique. And you'll be like, okay, I can possibly do this for my own work, because we never stop learning in this thing called writing. And if God has called you to write about this, why don't you go ahead, pick up the pen, and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.